But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith, my friends, is absolutely essential. Without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to the Almighty God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein ye stand. Now note that last point, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Again, faith is absolutely essential. Without faith, man cannot be justified. Without faith, man cannot have peace with God. Without faith, you and I cannot have access into the very grace of the Almighty God. Without faith, you and I cannot rejoice in hope. Faith is essential. We all are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith is essential. Without faith, man will perish. With faith, man will have everlasting life. Faith is essential. We are continuing a study entitled Foundational Truths. This is about the 10th lesson in this series, and the title of our lesson this morning very simply is Saving Faith. Almost every Christian religion will tell you that faith is absolutely essential, and yet there is a great misunderstanding when it comes to saving faith. We only have 3 points in the lesson. Point number one, the definition of faith. Faith can be defined by looking its definition up in the Greek-English lexicons, and we find these definitions: persuasion, credence, moral conviction, notice this, especially with regard to a religious truth. Faith is also reliance upon Christ for salvation. Faith is also defined by synonyms. And notice some of the synonyms that are given for faith: trust, belief, confidence, assurance, acceptance, reliance. All of those words can be used synonymously with that one word, faith. We see trust, and we see conviction, and we see confidence when men affirm that God will do certain things. Let's look at some illustrations in the Bible. Abraham was commanded to offer Isaac for a burnt offering upon Mount Moriah. And as they made that journey, Isaac looked around and he asked his father, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham immediately manifested faith, did he not? The Bible tells us, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering.'" Notice those words, God will. He was absolutely certain, was he not? He knew that he could rely upon God to do exactly what needed to be done. Another example is found in Joseph to his brethren. Remember, Joseph was the second in command of Egypt, wasn't he? All of his family had been brought down to Egypt, and there he was able to provide for them, and they were going to continue there for over 400 years. That's a long time, isn't it? But I want you to listen to what Joseph said. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I die.'" But notice this next point. "And God will surely," what? "Visit you. And He will bring you up out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. God will visit you. God has promised that land to Abraham, and one of these days, God is going to take you there again, even though it would take over 400 years for the promise to come to pass. God will. My friends, that is faith. We see another man by the name of David exhibiting that same kind of faith, did he not? Goliath was on the battlefield charging, challenging the armies of Israel, and David said, I'll go and fight him. And standing before Saul, the king of Israel, he said this, God, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. God will. My friends, when you and I deep in our hearts know that God can and that God will be there on our behalf, that is the manifestation of faith, isn't it? That firm conviction is not just a leap in the dark. That's what some individuals believe. My friends, the faith that you and I have deep within, it is not a faith that is built on sinking sand. Our faith is based upon substance. And our faith is based upon evidence, is it not? According to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. A deep conviction that God can and God will, and we rely upon that every day of our lives. Faith in the Almighty God. Point number two, the fountain of faith. I love this point. The blessings of God flow forth into our lives from the fountain of faith deep within our hearts. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Do you want the blessings of God in your life? If so, then what you need to build is you need to build the fountain of faith in your heart. And the moment you do, God's blessings will begin to abundantly demonstrate themselves in your life. I want us to look at three examples from Matthew's Gospels of individuals who possess faith and were blessed because of that faith. The first example is found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Some individuals bring their friend who is sick of the palsy unto Jesus. And notice what the text says. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto him that was sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Not long after that, Jesus would take that man and cause him to rise and to walk, would he not? What was it that brought that blessing into the life of that individual? It was the faith of those individuals who brought them to Jesus. If only we can get to Jesus. If only he can see Jesus. If only we can say to Jesus, heal this man, he can be healed. The blessings of faith. In that same chapter, verse 22, a woman with an issue of blood hears that Jesus is passing through her midst. She makes her way through the crowd and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus knew that virtue had gone forth from him. He turns and he looked upon that woman, did he not? And when he saw her, he says, Daughter, notice what he says, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And she was made whole from that hour. A blessing due to what? Due to her faith. I don't have to talk to Jesus. I don't have to have him do anything in my life. All I need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. And a woman who had had an issue of blood for years and years and years, instantaneously healed of that sickness. Unbelievable, isn't it? Another woman comes to Jesus. Her daughter had been vexed with a demon. And she pled with Jesus to cast that demon out. And notice what Jesus said unto her. Great is thy faith, he says. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that very what? From that very hour. My friends, blessings are tied to man's what? To man's faith. There's something that's interesting. There are some blessings that God provides humanity that do not require 1 ounce of faith. Tomorrow, it is predicted that it is supposed to rain in Jacksonville. We got about a 40, 50, 60% chance throughout most of the day. I would venture to say that there are a few atheists in Jacksonville, wouldn't you? And guess what? Tomorrow, they will be blessed, won't they? You see, God provides blessings many times, even when there is no faith whatsoever. And usually they involve God's providential care physically of man. God sends the rain upon who? The just and the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. Those atheists never get on their knees and beg God for rain. And yet He what? He brings rain into their lives. Some blessings God gives without faith. But my friends, if you want the spiritual blessings of God in your life, you better manifest a solid fountain of faith deep within. Let's look at just two illustrations. Salvation. The Philippian jailer, after that earthquake had transpired, burst into the cell of Paul and Barnabas. He brings them out and he asks them, "Sirs, what must I do to be what? To be saved." He uses the actual words. Paul told him what? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to him. "And thou shalt be saved." Acts 16, 30 and 31. If you want the blessing of salvation, you must have faith. That blessing will not come into your life unless you have faith deep within your heart. What about answered prayer? James talks about that, doesn't he? In James 1, verses 5 through 7. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally unto all men and upbraideth not. But let him ask" what? "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." My friends, if you go into your closet and pray and you don't have a drop of faith in that prayer, don't expect that prayer to be answered. But if you go into your closet and you pray fervently, with expectant faith that that prayer is going to be heard and answered, God will hear and answer those prayers. You see, the answered prayer is what? A spiritual blessing, isn't it? And all spiritual blessings are tied to the faith you and I have deep within our hearts. But that leads to the third point of the lesson, the action of faith. Faith involves confidence and involves trust in facts. In John 8, 24, Jesus says this, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." Now listen to Him. "For if ye believe not that" what? "That I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Jesus says, if you don't want to die in your sins, you have to believe a fact. And what is that fact? That I am He. What does He mean by that? You must believe that I am the Son of God. You must believe deep within your heart that I am God. I am deity. You must believe that I am the promised Messiah. I am the Anointed One. I am the prophet, priest, and king over the nation of spiritual Israel. And if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. So when it comes to facts that God presents to us, you and I have to have confidence in those facts. You and I have to trust in those facts. You and I have to acknowledge those facts. But folks, saving faith is not based upon mere facts alone. The Bible tells us that the devils believe, don't they? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. All I have to do is believe in facts and I'm saved. Let me ask you a question. If you were to ask the devils, that is the devil's angels, do you believe there is one God? Guess what they would say? Absolutely. There is one God. And He is our adversary, isn't He? If you were to ask those same demons, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Guess what they would say? Oh, yes. You bet He's the Son of the living God. Isn't that something? Devils believe the facts. If all we have to do is mentally believe the facts in order to be saved, then the devils ought to be saved. But the reality is this, faith only is not a saving faith. James says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by what? Not by faith only. That's why the devils can believe and not be saved. You see, there's other aspects of faith. God has always, always wanted man to manifest his faith in God by what? By obedience to His Word. He wants us to prove. He wants us to demonstrate. He wants us to show not only to God but to the entirety of the world that we have faith. And the only way to do that is by obeying what God says to do. Hebrews 11, hall of fame of what? Of the faithful, is it not? Hall of fame of all those who have had a deep faith in the past. You just go home this afternoon and read that chapter two or three times. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Verse 7. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out to go into a place which he should afterward receive of inheritance. And he obeyed, my friends, he obeyed. We drop down just a little bit further. By faith, Abraham offered his son Isaac, did he not? Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of who? Of his parents. Amram and Jochebed had faith, did they not? This is a goodly son. This is a wonderful child. God doesn't want this child to die. But they didn't just put their faith in him. Or in the fact that God would save him. They did something, didn't they? Hid him for 3 months. The Bible talks much about Moses. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses chose, rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God. Moses forsook Egypt. Moses kept the Passover. Moses and all Israel crossed the Red Sea in order to have salvation. Every time there was faith, there was what? There was action. There was obedience to the will of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, did they not? But when? After they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. When? When she had received the spies. every time faith is mentioned, and there is a command of God to be done, faith manifests itself in obedience. Folks, the requirement of God to obey His will in order to manifest faith does not negate the grace of God. That's what the denominational world believes, isn't it? If I have to do anything, they say, in order to be saved, then that negates the grace of God. All I have to do is believe, they say. That's not true. The city of Jericho was a gift from God. Go back and read Joshua 6, verse 2. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. God said, this is a gift to you. But what did they have to do in order to get it? By faith. The walls of Jericho fell down when? After they were compassed about 7 days. Was the fact that they marched around those walls caused the grace of God to be negated? Absolutely not. That city was still a gift from God to the Israelites, was it not? Isn't it interesting that most in the religious world would acknowledge that point as far as Jericho is concerned? Yes, they had to march around. Yes, they had to shout. But still, it was God's gift to Israel. But they don't understand it when it comes to the gospel plan of salvation today. That's sad, isn't it? They tell us faith only saves. And the reality is faith only does not save. Folks, faith must manifest itself how? In obedience to the commands of God. God asks man to do three things once he believes. Number one, you must repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. He tells man after he has faith, you must confess me before men, Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He tells man to be buried in the waters of baptism in order to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith manifests itself how? In obedience to the commands. God, what do you want me to do? I want you to repent. I want you to confess the name of Jesus. I want you to be baptized for the remission of sins. That final step is rejected by most people in the religious world today, isn't it? Oh, there's that Camelite preacher again. He thinks baptism saves you. Folks, I don't think nothing. I know baptism saves me. That's what the Bible says. They claim that we are teaching work salvation in that process. Let me ask you something. 120 years Noah worked to build an ark. I don't know about you, that's a long time to work. I've been working about 45 years and I'm tired already. I can't imagine 120 years. And he worked and he worked and he worked. I'm going to emphasize that word work. And you want to know what saved him? He was saved by grace through faith. Not one drop of work that man did negated the grace of the Almighty God. How long does it take a man to be baptized? I've never timed it. I guess it depends on how long the preacher wants to hold him under. 5 seconds? 10 seconds? Now remember, that's work. That negates the grace of the Almighty God. The denominational world says, how foolish. If Noah can work 120 years and not negate the grace of God, folks, let me tell you something. A person can be immersed in water for 10 seconds and not negate the grace of the Almighty God. It's foolish to think otherwise. And here's what's interesting. Satan knows the gospel plan of salvation that's been revealed to man. You think he knows that? Folks, I guarantee you, Satan knows that book better than you know it. You know that? And Satan knows that every step in the gospel plan of salvation has to be obeyed in order for a man to be saved, doesn't he? Now watch this. He can allow a man to proclaim his faith as long as that faith is not manifested in obedience to the commands of God. He doesn't. That's okay with him. If you want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's fine. As long as you don't want to be baptized for the remission of sins, that's fine. He knows that as long as men are in that condition, they are just as lost as they can be. Man, that's clever, isn't it? To me, it's clever. He allows man to manifest confidence in their salvation when they are really not saved. That is the perfect ploy of the evil one, isn't it? I don't have to be a demon. I don't have to look like I'm an enemy of God. I can let you believe. You can walk around and you can confess that faith all you want to. I'll let you tell all people all over the world that you are saved when guess what? You aren't. You aren't. The perfect ploy of the devil. It's amazing, isn't it? We've examined 3 points in our lesson, haven't we? Number one, the definition of faith. Number two, the fountain of faith. Folks, God is the fountain of all blessings. But in order for you and I to experience those blessings, you and I have to set up a fountain in our hearts. And it's the fountain of faith. And the moment it's there, God's blessings begin to be poured out in our lives. And we've looked at the actions of faith. Obedience does not negate the grace of God. It manifests the faith of man. I bet there are some in this audience right now who are here who put their confidence solidly in Jesus Christ and in God the Father. And I bet you understand and that you believe that those blessings that God has for you are tied to faith. But our question is this: have you proven your faith by obedience to the Word of God? My friends, if you haven't, your faith means absolutely nothing. As far as God is concerned, it is a dead faith. Notice what Jesus says. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you something. If someone cries out, Lord, Lord, do you think they have faith? Sure. They have faith. Or they wouldn't cry out, Lord, Lord. But that's not the key to salvation, is it? Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The manifestation of faith is what's needed in order to be saved in the last day. My friend, if you've not obeyed the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins, you are not a saved person. And we want you to be this morning. Dear Christian, listen to me. That same point applies to the Christian life as well. In fact, that's who James is talking to, is he not, in James chapter 2. You and I have to continue to be obedient to God's will if we're going to have a saving faith in the last day. Are you, as a Christian, faithful, obedient unto God? Maybe you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.